Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Have you ever heard of a Holy Ghost party?
He come.
I never heard of a Holy Ghost party. Our guest today, Bidid Pau, tells us that revival is like a Holy Ghost party. Ooh, I'd like to talk to her and find out what that's all about. Today, she's going to share with us what happened when she experienced the Holy Ghost, how the church responded, how her family responded, and then she's going to teach on what she has learned about revival and how to keep revival going. Bidid Pau from Vietnam, here she is. Hi, Bidid.
It's an honor to be with your program today, Dr. Kim.
Great. We've been talking via the email, and I know a little bit about you. I know one thing, you are a hard worker. Like, for example, last fall you were doing some roofing?
Yes. It's a surprise journey. It's a surprise journey, and it was from the Lord. And so hopefully I can share with you a bit when you're asking me that.
Okay. I know that about 3 or 4 months ago, I had some people that wanted to join my site, and I couldn't tell if their names were Chinese or Vietnamese. I couldn't tell. So they didn't have any history. So I asked you, I said, can you tell me anything about these people, where they're from? And I gave you a list of names. And you said this. You said, well, if they were Vietnamese, they'd be too busy working. They won't have time to be posting on your page. So I'm impressed. Tell us about your journey. I already know a little bit about you, and I'm excited to know you. But we have people listening today that would like to hear about your walk, your Christian walk, correct?
Yes, yes. Well, I'm a Vietnamese. I was born in Vietnam, and I was a refugee 35 years ago. I came to this country to the program of helping the people looking for freedom from Vietnam. And we established here. I married with my husband, who's a Caucasian, and we've been married for 30 years. And I was born as a Christian, but gone to church, but never meet Jesus. I'm sure that most of people have the same experience like I do. And it's interesting that this year, 2017. Exactly 22 years, and it happened on a Easter day. I met Jesus in my own living room. That the day that I decided not to go to Easter service, and then I meet him at my own living room, and that's why how my journey began. The search for him. It was 22 years.
Wow, then this is almost a celebration of a birthday.
Yes, I have many birthdays. Holy Spirit birthday.
Okay.
And Jesus' birthday. So the first time I met him personally, I saw Jesus in the room, a vision, impression of vision, when I read Ezekiel chapter 10. And I was in tears and I began to read the Bible. And after that, my family thought I was crazy. So they put me into the mental hospital.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay.
So I got out of it, and I knew it was God. But, you know, when I first met Jesus, it was flesh, it was God, and I couldn't understand what it is. But I knew as I felt the love of God. I didn't study curses or deliverance, but God was delivering me from bondage, and I forgive, and I just love to read the Word. But after that, without teaching from a good church, I forgot about it, and I went back to my normal life until 12 years later. And then once again, the power of the Holy Spirit hit me in the church. And I was singing the song, and I felt, I was singing the song of David, like sing like David sing and dance like David dance. And then the power of the Holy Spirit hit me really powerful. So at that moment, I feel like, should I go for it or should I stop myself? I look at my husband standing next door to me. My mom died just 2 days before that. And I was prepared for the gift testimony to the church. But at that moment of let myself go and worship him with all my being, or should I stop myself? I decided to let go. And I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. I just sing the song with all of my heart, all of my being want to praise the Lord. And I felt, the moment that I felt, I understood how David was singing and worshiping the Lord and take off his clothes. Bite him. And I felt that moment. And it was amazing. I'm glad I did it. But of course, after that, the church began to think evil in me. And I'm facing problem again. And after that, my family put me into the mental institution. I almost got killed in Vietnam by that. You know, in Vietnam, they, if you have money, you can tell the doctor to do anything.
Oh, my.
Yes, my sister tell the doctor, let's drug her. Don't let her talk or anything until her husband to bring her home. And they left me in Vietnam because, like, you know, in that week, we conducted a funeral service and bring my mother's body back to Vietnam. So I almost died there, but by the grace of the Lord, I was alive. They drugged me until I was passed out for 24 hours without waking up. And the doctor came in and he decided to not to give me drugs. So I was awake and came back to the U.S. when my husband came. So it's interesting.
Okay. Now, you were saying that they could give you drugs. And your husband could have asked the doctor to do anything, and he would have done it.
Yeah, he could. But see, my family believed I was crazy because I was talking about Jesus. I'm talking about love of God, which is I usually do not and did not. Mm-hmm. And my sister took me to the hospital, and they interviewed me. They said, she's normal. I don't see that anything that she should be admitted to the hospital. But my sister gave the money to the doctor so I can be held in the mental hospital. You see, when the Holy Spirit hit me, all I talk is about the love of Jesus, about how much Jesus loved us and the salvation. And it was just like on and on, and I prophesied. But, you know, I didn't understand revival. I didn't understand the power of the Holy Spirit until 2009. So the second episode happened to me was 2007. I was an engineer technician, and I was thinking after my mom died, then I will go back to Vietnam and be a gardener. And so we bought land in Vietnam and planned to retire in Vietnam. So 2008, with the fall of the crash of the financial institutions, and I was in one of them. So I went back to the U.S. and I was really upset with the Lord. And I say, Lord, I saved the money. I was 2 weeks away from my retirement. And how come all this happening to me? And you know that I want to serve you. At the time, I was a Baptist. And remember, for 12 years, encountering the Lord two times, I still do not understand the characters of the Holy Spirit. Because I only go to the Vietnamese church, and we are Baptists.
Okay. For the most part, Baptists don't believe in these spiritual experiences, such as baptism of the Holy Spirit, visions and such. Okay.
Especially, I got put in a mental institution, so 50%, I think I use my mind to think, that, yeah, that's crazy. But in the other hand, it was God. And of course, when I prophesied, I saw something came true. But I reject all those until I fail financially. And I come back, I got upset, and the Lord didn't say anything. But later on, the Lord began to speak to me. And he said that I have to change the way I live and to change the way I act. And I'm lacking of reading the Bible. I will rely on signs and wonders. And so then the Lord began to give me a dream and said that I have to go to this conference, American conference. I said, Lord, I don't know any American church.
You didn't know any American church.
Why should you tell me to go to American conference? And then so I decided, I live in Northern California, so I heard about Bethel Redding, and I heard about the Church of Che An. So I decided to go to Che An Church because only $55 and Bethel is $85. Little that I know, I didn't know any speakers. I said, okay, go to American conference. So I chose to go to Southern California. Little that I know, I was failing into the revival conference, which is Randy Clark, Che An, Heidi Baker, and hear all the testimonies about God.
Wow.
And so I read the book of Bill Johnson called Dreaming with God. And I realized with all the experience that Pastor Bill Johnson was sharing in his book, I said, oh my Lord, I have touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I repent and I ask God to give me back my gift again. And I would serve him. And that was the beginning of the journey. But I saw the power of God and really attracted me. And I saw the power of love and a culture of honor in this conference. I went home, I told my husband, I said, okay, I'm not crazy about God anymore. I'm going to go back to work. And I am going to attend two conferences a year. One is American conference, one is Vietnamese conference in Texas. So my husband said yes. And then that's 2009. So 2010, I went to Bethel for the conference because I like Pastor Randy Clark about healing and impartation. So I didn't understand impartation, never heard of it.
Impartation,
Yes, And I blessed with my health. So, but I like Pastor Randy, so that's why I go to this conference, Healing and Impartation. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And it was the Lord. So I, along with me, there's a group of Vietnamese ladies that some of them do not know English. So I have a compassion on them. So I say, okay, let me translate one book for you. So out of the whole pilings of Pastor Randy books, I decided to pick up the training manual ministry and translate it. So I asked for permission. It took me 3 months for permission, and I decided not to go to work. And my language is really bad. I'm not even influenced in English or Vietnamese. But in my room for 3 months, I do nothing except translating this book.
What was the title of the book?
Training Manual Ministry.
Okay, Randy Steeb Training Manual.
And this book, the Training Manual, now is highly used in the program of CHCP, which is the Christian Healing Certification. And I'm one of them. I received the invitation, of course, through Pastor Randy's conference, but sitting down and learning about curses, deliverance, word knowledge, 5-step models of prayer, it was an amazing book. And I introduced this book to Pastor Peter in Kenya. He translated this book and surely revival has come in his region as well.
You You were saying in your note to me that you wanted to talk about keeping revival alive. I didn't understand that.
What did you mean by keeping revival alive?
Okay, so for the last 6 years, after I translated that book and I began to hear from the Lord that, you know, you go to Washington, D.C., so I just quit my job. And in the past 6 years, I hadn't gone to work. So I spent a lot of time studying these people because I'm from the math department, you know, and working with engineering. So I'm much like a calculated person. And I said, how do they get the revival ongoing after 20 years? So I see that, you know, Pastor Bill Johnson have saying that revival came from God. And so I see the church history that revival come and go. And the characters of revival in Vietnam is same thing. The Lord also come and touch the Vietnamese people in 1988. It's just like Toronto Blessing. As if you know Toronto Blessing, revival, you know what I'm talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So same thing. But then I asked the pastor, so what happened to thousands of people that believe in Jesus and now you just only have 10, right?
Yes.
And, you know, they couldn't answer me. They don't know how. But, you know, learning from Peter Wagner's book, from, you know, WLI.
WLI. Okay, that is Wagner Leadership Institute. And that is where you earned your master's
program in revival. In my own conclusion, I believe that the Lord is go from glory to glory.
Yes. Amen.
And the Lord does not make mistake when he's saying. Only us make a mistake. And so tracking the Revival Alliance group, I observed some of the characters that they have been doing that has been keeping revivals going. For example, it was 15 years after Toronto Blessing in 1994 that I came to Cheon Church. And so I received the seed and spread for the revival because I've seen this group, they have the culture of honor. They respect each other, and I have brought a lot of my friends to a Revival Alliance meeting. And all of them come back increased, get a touch by the power of the Holy Spirit, and also love. And so there's a lot to learn from the Bible, but a lot to learn from this group, Revival Alliance, you know. So two times a year, you can see them in together, Pastor Cheon Church in California, in the East Coast. I love to go attend Voice of Apostle Conference. Actually, VOA, right?
Voice of the Apostles.
Yes, yes. And that's really helping me. And I've seen, like, you know, I totally believe you have listened to the sermons of Pastor Chris Valentin in Bethel. He talked about the Epic season and the Kairos moment. I totally believe that we are in this season. And how do we maintain revival? So my understanding, revival is just when revival is like a Holy Ghost party, right? He come.
Well, you got that, right? Uh-huh. Okay.
Don't you think?
Yes, I do.
Right? If you go to the world party, what do they have, right?
Yeah.
They hung over, and the next day they get depressed, so they have to drink again. but you come to the Holy Ghost party, you want to drink again, right? By go to another conference, or you go to the Bible and drink from him. But out of that, you have confidence. You know who you are. You know who God is. You know who you are. And you continue to move forward to your own destiny. And it was so amazing to go to this kind of party.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Nina.
And so I love, I'm watching how the Holy Spirit working. So I just want to give you an example of what I understand. That's because I have been working in my house, and I happened to burning a lot of wood and trees. And I saw like a Holy Spirit, just like a diesel oil, all right?
Yes.
He just give us a little flame, and we have to be the wood. And when the wood gather together with the touch of the Holy Spirit, we will burn. We'll burn forever. And when you look in Leviticus, you know, the priest have to keep the wood on going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe revival is great. The TV, the conference is great. But the true revival has to be happen onto each individual heart. And revival have to be maintained within the family. The true revival is have to leave the mark. Just like I saw your comments yesterday on the Facebook, I think, that the teaching 1,000 years ago, what do they teach? They teach about resurrection.
Resurrection.
More recently, the church focuses on sin and forgiveness of sin and the death of Jesus Christ. And of course, that is important. But a few hundred years back, the church focused on the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Jesus is alive, living in us, the defeat of Satan and the impartation of a new life. Now, forgiveness of sins was certainly a part of the message. But in the context of the defeat of Satan and God imparting to us his life or new life,
we have to recognize that Jesus is living in us every day. If we cannot find the testimony in our life every day, we have to watch out. Right?
That's right.
So my old Christian, I didn't have Jesus because I didn't see him in my life every day. So resurrection is being alive. That means he's just living. If we do not have the testimony in our life, right, we have to come and jump out somewhere and find out the testimony from somebody else.
Yes.
To know that our God is alive. And that is to maintain revival. And we have to leave the mark, right?
Yes.
We have to be influenced. We have to be impact. We have to earn respect from all the people out there, all the sects out there, including the respect from the people from our family who do not know Jesus. If we tell them to believe in Jesus, they probably say no. But if we maintain characters, produce fruit as God wants us to be, you know, people will see Jesus through us. And I think that is a true meaning of revival. Because I totally believe and convinced that revival is the love of Jesus inside us, to understand the love of God. So when you ask me, you know, what is passion in my heart? After 4 months, stay in the wood by myself, stay away from internet, telephone, I wouldn't trade for anything else. I believe the Lord has sent me there, so remind me who he is. Because after I hear all the preaching, all the teaching, I did all I could. But I did the wrong thing, right thing, but wrong thing happened all the time. And I asked God why. And God didn't answer. He just gently, day by day, show me his love. And today, when I speak to you, Dr. Jim, I feel like I don't care about anything else. All I care is about the love of Jesus inside me. And I totally believe that the Holy Spirit inside me, and that's all I need. I would lack of nothing. And the ministry, big or small, doesn't matter. Every day, I have to live by his word, love him and love others, and forgive. So forgive is is the most important thing in life, and that's a cure, and that's a must. So lots of ministers, a lot of people left church because of unforgiveness, because of hurt, because we believe, like myself, I used to believe in a lie. When people say, well, you are evil, and then what I did, I left the church, right?
Okay.
Because I believe in them, right? If Jesus in me, if Holy Ghost in me, why should I believe in them? But I get hurt, I get upset, so I left the church. And I shouldn't be. I should listen to God. I should know who I am. I should leave where the church when God tell me to leave. I should serve wherever God tell me to serve. So, for example, like I'm involved with the Vietnamese church. We started a year and a half ago, and our church is awesome. We have bring in a lot of new believers into our church. But when I and we have a lot of churches around that do not know much about the work of the Holy Spirit. So, but the Lord told me, well, you leave your church now and you go to a different church. And I said to the Lord, well, Lord, you know, is it you? Is it because if I stay in this church, I will have a lot of favor because people already know me. People already know my work. But the Lord said, no, your season in this church is over. You go to a different church. So be able to hear from the Lord is a must. Without hearing from Him, we often using our imagination, thinking and doing things that is not the will of God. So that's I feel that, you know, just be with Him, knowing His word, being around mentors that helping us grow. It's
an
awesome thing.
No doubt about it. It is an awesome thing. Jesus said, learn of me, for in me you have life. That's the source of our life. You are a sweetheart, Benin.
So are you.
For those of you that would like to get in touch with Benin, here's how you spell her name. B-E-N-I-H-I-E-N. Her last name is Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L. And you can find her on the net and Facebook.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.